Chapter 11. Fives, Echo says, and Fives feels a flicker of alarm rise at that tone, even if the battle is well over and they're almost done with the main bits of the mob-up. Dread settling in, he glances up and... Echo, with that kind of look on his face, is never a good sign. Last time it happened, he'd picked a fight with an older cadet, told him his name was Fives, and gotten Fives beaten up too. This time, it's not just guilt or regret in Echo's face, though. There's a distinct edge of helplessness, almost dismay, and Fives puts down the blaster he was cleaning, entirely sure that this is going to need his full attention. "What's wrong?" he asks, and Echo huffs, but all for show, Fives thinks. That's a bad sign. "It's not wrong," he says after a second. "Do you know if Granter's ship was moved to another hangar?" Fives blinks, turning to look. He'd noticed the absence too, marked it in his brain for later contemplation, and then promptly forgotten to look into it. It's weird having a dad, and Fives isn't entirely sure what to do with that thought, doesn't know why Granta's so willing to accept them as his sons, and it's a lot to mull over. Arc training and the fact that they're a squad of four now instead of five is easier to think about. Maybe, too, there's an edge of uncertainty, a little fear that comes from having two choices, knowing he picked the right one, but still wanting the second. Granta wanted to take them away somewhere, far away from the war. They're clones, though, and they have a duty to the Republic and to their brothers. They can't leave. Granta will understand. He knows clones, and pretty much all of them feel the same way. This is their war, and it's right that they're fighting it. Maybe later, after the war, they can be more like... sons, or whatever. Fives has absolutely no idea how sons are supposed to behave, but they'll figure it out. "Probably," he says after a second. "Granta's probably still in medical, right? And the bay was packed earlier, since a lot of the pilots stationed on Kamino landed here too. They probably moved it somewhere quieter." That doesn't make the disquiet leave Echo's expression, though. "Come help me find it," he says, and Fives groans quietly, but gets to his feet. He's tired. They only just got the cadets back to their cleared barracks and finished moving all the rubble from where the attack craft drilled through the buildings, and all he wants is to sit down. There's no refusing Echo, though, particularly when he's in a mood, so he staggers up, slings his blaster over his back, and waves goodbye to one of the older cadets he was nominally sitting with. Comet waves back, still working on the astromech droid he pulled out of the wreck of a fighter, and Fives sighs and clumps after Echo, feeling worn down and put upon. "Why don't you just ask Granta?" Fives asks, but he falls in at Echo's side, scrubbing a hand over his short beard. "They would have told him where they put it, right?" "I don't know which medical area he's in," Echo says with a faint grimace. "I thought they brought him up here because he got shot." Something jolts through Fives, like electricity. "He got shot?" he demands, pulling Echo around. "You didn't tell any of us that." Something flickers across Echo's face, and he's hard for most people to read, but most people aren't Fives. This is chagrin, touched with mulishness, with something hunted and almost guilty underneath. Fives can't tell if the guilt is for hiding the fact that Granta is hurt, or if it's for something else entirely, though. "Echo," he says, exasperated. The mulishness rises, overwhelming everything else. "Twice," Echo says. "He got shot twice, in the arm and in the side. And one of them was from saving Jax." "Jax," Fives repeats slowly. "The cadet he mentioned, the one who found him." Echo nods, and Fives frowns, watching his face. "Is that what's wrong?" he asks. "You're mad a cadet found him and we didn't." "No," Echo snaps. "He means yes." Annoyed, Fives opens his mouth, but before he can yell at Echo for hiding that Granta is hurt just because he's feeling jealous, Echo says, "We shouldn't trust him. Just because he said something doesn't make it true, and you know he's sketchy." Fives opens his mouth, closes it again, and groans. "Echo, we can test if he's telling the truth. You realize that, right?" That mulishness doesn't go away. "Do you really want to risk it just because a stranger says it's true?" Fives doesn't want to risk anything, and he doesn't plan to. Asking the Kaminoans to test if they're different is like walking up to a firing squad and asking to go a few rounds. Especially if Granta was some kind of prisoner, trapped and held and experimented on against his will. But the Jedi have medics, right? Healers or whatever, Fives says. "We could ask them. I'm sure General Tashi would agree." He wasn't sure what he was expecting from the 501st General, but Siri Tashi is cool even for a Jedi, and she's nice, and she was delighted when she heard that Domino was going for ARC training. She even promised to keep them together as a squad once they were assigned to Torrent, and that's more than Fives ever expected. And she won't let them be decommissioned if what Granta said was true. She might even be willing to help Granta, since he was the one who was the prisoner, even if it means going up against the Kaminoans. But something in Echo's face gets grimmer, darker, and he looks away. The corridor is anything but quiet, but looking at that expression on Echo's face, it feels like they're alone, just the two of them again. Like deciding to go to Shaak Ti and ask to be reassigned, angry at everything and terrified of failing. But it's different now. They impressed Alpha 17 and got spots in the ARC course, and they worked together well. There aren't any problems with the squad, with them. The only thing that's changed is the knowledge that they have a dad. They have a dad who's a civilian, but so devoted he fought commando droids for them, even when he could barely stand up straight. He told them about their grandmother, too. They have a grandmother. Fives maybe keeps playing that knowledge over in his head, to the point that he feels he has to tell someone or he's going to explode. "Fives," Echo starts, and then closes his mouth. His expression twists, and he curls his hands into fists, gaze dropping to the floor. Frustration, Fives thinks, watching him. But "we shouldn't trust him," Echo says again, more loudly this time, more clearly. I know you want to, but we can't, okay?" Fives opens his mouth, pauses, closes it again. All he can really think of right now is Granta in the throes of his frighteningly high fever, dizzy and drifting, with his hand in Fives' hair as he told them about their grandmother. And their grandfather, too, even if that hadn't been anything close to as complete an explanation. It sounded sad, Fives thinks. Granta hadn't, but the things he said had. A mother who picked his father first, and a father who sent them away, who Granta clearly didn't want to talk about. Granta hadn't seemed to notice, and Fives doesn't exactly have a lot of experience with families to say it was bad, but it still made him feel so desperately warm and unsteady when Granta had said, "I'd pick you." "Why?" he finally asks, careful, but Echo still isn't looking at him. "Echo, why?" "His father was a dark Jedi," Echo says, the words a rush, like he has to get them out now or he never will. "He was a dark Jedi and a criminal. I think that's why the Kaminoans used him like that. They were trying to make us force sensitive, and I think that's what he wants from us too, to know if we are. We can't trust him, Fives." It feels, kind of, like the words are coming from a great distance, like they're echoing through Fives' head and ringing in his ears. Echo is waiting for a reaction, but Fives doesn't know how to respond, has no idea where to even begin. "He gave us all the information to look him up," Echo says after a second, like that's what Fives is concerned about. "His name and his mother and father and where they lived and what they did. I just searched the records on Telos and compared them with the ones on Nearport 7, and his grandfather was a war criminal who tried to take over the whole system. And Xanatos was an evil Jedi who tried to kill General Kenobi." Fives knows of Kenobi, and he pauses, some edge of disbelief cracking. Looks at Echo, who's finally looking back with burning eyes, and then wavers. "But he said all of that while he had a fever, and he said he wanted us to be his sons, too. That doesn't mean he meant it, Echo says. It just means he thought we wouldn't check. He must see Fives' rising urge to defend, to protest, because he makes a sound of annoyance and says, if he meant it, why was he trying to get us to leave with him? He asked me in the middle of the fighting. He asked me too, Fives says, a little numbly. Before. But he protected them, on Rishi's moon, and then in the fighting, even if he'd been focused on Jax. Fives pauses, realization flickering to life, and looks at Echo as fear rises. Droid Bay is still on his ship. So he got one of us, Echo says grimly, and turns, stalking up the corridor. Fives hurries to catch up. We have to tell Heavy and Cutup, and the captain first. He probably escaped right after I brought the commander up. Echo, what if it's just... The cadet was with him. Jax probably knows what happened after I left. Echo, stop. You don't even know that he was lying. He had less than a day to get Droid Bay to somewhere with medical care that wouldn't just kill him. He told us that. Echo stops, startled, and Fives rolls his eyes, grabs his arm. You're so stupid, he says fondly. Just because you think there's a plot doesn't mean there is. Echo huffs, but his shoulders are rounding in a way that means he's embarrassed more than angry. He lied to Captain Rex and Commander Cody, on the station. The Kaminoans were holding him captive, Echo, and the Gar is tied to the Kaminoans. He was probably worried about being shipped right back to them. We still have to tell the captain, Echo says after a second, but the edge has mostly left his voice, so now it's just his usual version of stubborn. Fives knocks their shoulders together, relief rising, and grins. So we'll tell the captain, he says, because they should, even if they get in trouble for letting Granta lie to Rex and Cody. Besides, Granta helped them multiple times, so that has to count for something. He even got shot saving a cadet. And the general. They're down on Kamino right now, right? Yeah, Echo says after a second, but he leans back, braces his shoulder against Fives's. Says, quiet. But if he really is just trying to get to us because he thinks we're Force-sensitive clones of his or something, you can't go with him, okay? No matter what. Not until we prove otherwise. We're a squad. We stick together, Fives says firmly. If the Citadel course and the fight on Rishi Moon taught them anything, it's that. Even if they haven't always been good enough, even if they've stumbled, even if leaving would be easier, they can't. I wouldn't go unless we all went. Echo looks at him, then away. Fives doesn't need words to know he's not entirely convinced, that he still has doubts, but that's fine. There's a faint, niggling worry in the back of Fives' head that's the same sort of concern, and he doesn't entirely know what to do with it. Now that Echo's planted it, though, it's not going away. Nothing in the hall was tampered with, Siri asks, frowning. Commander Blitz was sure. Yes, sir. Rex follows his general down the wide halls near the center of the facility, careful of the broken droid parts littering the area. He got two different shifts of Kaminoan techs to check it, and they confirmed. No one even tried the door. Siri's lips press into a thin slash, her disquiet clear. Grievous wouldn't have risked an invasion of Kamino just to target the cadet barracks, she says. He lost the majority of his army and only barely escaped. Even he's not that stupid. Would one Sith have turned the whole fight around? Rex asks, because it's hard to imagine. Even for Ventress, powerful and deadly as she was, going up against Siri, Quinlan, and Shock at the same time wouldn't have been anything close to a good idea, and Rex had thought Dooku was more careful with his apprentice than that. No, Siri says precisely, but Ventress wasn't just a fighter, she was an assassin. She was here as a thief, this time, Quinlan says from ahead of them. Rex glances up just in time to see him rising from his crouch beside the body, wiping his hands off with the towel Cal passes him. Cody is a step away, watching carefully. Braced, Rex thinks with a touch of humor, to lunge and catch his general if something Quinlan sees makes him collapse. Again. Cody wouldn't admit it under pain of torture, but Rex is absolutely certain it's his favorite part of being the 212th's commander. The records hall, Siri asks, raising a brow as she folds her arms across her chest. Quinlan tips his head, the 212th orange beads in his dreads clicking. She knew the passcode for the room and was here for Django's DNA, but she never made it that far. Relief slides through Rex, because losing Django's DNA means no more clones at all, and the war's far from over. He glances down at the corpse, not able to muster up any sympathy after all the clones Ventress has killed, but also not overly willing to try. Finding Colt alive and Ventress dead was one of the best moments Rex has had in a while, honestly. "I don't suppose you got a glimpse of who killed her while you were picking all that up," Ciri says, a touch of amusement in her tone. Quinlan's expression stays serious, though, doesn't slide toward his usual smugness when he can pull answers out of thin air. "Willing to touch me? I want to show you something." Ciri's brow goes up again, but she crosses the hall, crouching down beside Quinlan as he goes back down on one knee. Quinlan offers her a hand, and Ciri slides her own into it, holds still as a surge of emotion flickers across Quinlan's face. "Next time," Quinlan says in exasperation, "tell me before you throw me straight into a lip lock with Luminara." Cal snickers, slapping a hand up to hide it a moment too late. Ciri looks unbothered. "You've kissed Luminara too, Quinn. Not since we were teenagers, Ciri." "Well, what were you going to show me? Not just you whining, I assume. I can see that every time we spar." Rex could hide his own grin a lot better if he were wearing his bucket right now, but at least Cody's in the same boat. He slides around their generals, puts his back to the wall in a spot where he won't get trampled if Cody is in a rush to play knight in plastoid armor, and asks, quiet, "No screaming then?" "Not so far." Cody tips his head, eyeing him with an unsettling amount of amusement, and asks, "You finally take a break from flirting with that sketchy character you dragged home?" "Technically," Rex counters, "he dragged us home, since you got our ship blown up. Again." "Maybe the brass will give us a model with better cannons next time," Cody says, unbothered. His gaze flickers back to Quinlan as there's an indrawn breath, but not from Quinlan. Ciri stiffens faintly, fingers curling tighter around Quinlan's as he touches Ventress's palm, and her normally steady expression twists. "Quinn," she says, "this is just..." "I know," Quinlan says quietly. "I'm just proving a point. This is what I want you to see." He shifts his touch, laying a hand over the bloody wound in Ventress's back, and Rex braces for a loud reaction, half ready to drag his general away. But Ciri blinks, and frowns, and looks down, like she's checking that Quinlan is even still touching the body. "What?" she asks, brow wrinkling. "Yeah," Quinlan says, and his grin is something lazy, full of teeth. "I felt it when I touched a barrier near the far side of the building, too. Never experienced anything like that before." "Sir?" Cody asks, concerned. Quinlan shrugs, though, rising to his feet, and wipes his hands again. "It's nothing bad, nothing good either, just nothing. There's a big blank void, like my psychometry just stopped working suddenly. Like there's something to see, but I just can't." He tips his head towards his Padawan. "Cal gets the same thing, so it's not just me." "Person that killed her was using a short knife," Cody says, and Rex slants a glance at him. "They both know someone who's good with knives. Dr. Gillimar said it was probably Gar issue." "Oh," Rex says with a sinking feeling, because the knife Granta was using on the Rishi Moon base was definitely Gar issue. "But he's a civilian." There are suddenly multiple pairs of Jedi eyes fixed on him, which isn't the most comfortable state to be in. Slowly, deliberate, Ciri folds her arms across her chest again and asks pointedly, "Rex?" "The man who helped us on Rishi," Rex says, still trying to fit the pieces together. "Granta. He used a knife like he knew how, and he didn't have a problem killing droids. When I caught up with him earlier, he was with Colt, and he was splattered in red. Said it was paint." Ciri frowns, glancing over at Quinlan. "Could a normal person kill a Sith assassin?" she asks, and Rex wants to know that too. Quinlan just shrugs. "I don't think it's happened in a long time, if it's happened at all," he says. "Ventress has killed plenty of Jedi. Even with Colt here, I wouldn't exactly give her bad odds against one guy with a knife." "I couldn't kill a Sith with a knife," Ciri tells him. "Not unless you had them in a lip lock." Quinlan takes the punch she aims at his shoulder with a wince, but snorts. "I don't know that I could either. Sith infighting. Is this guy another assassin? He said he was an engineer, Rex says, and the idea of Granta murdering Ventress is, well, mildly breathtaking. Ventress has killed a hell of a lot of clones. But he was definitely a slicer. It seemed like Colt was close to him, too, and he was fond of the shiny squad he saved. Most Sith don't save clones, Ciri points out, which is a wild understatement if Rex has ever heard one. Call Colt. He must have given Shock his report. He said he was saved by someone he didn't recognize, Quinlan says, but he brings his comm up, steps away. Ciri looks faintly wary. How close is close? She asks Rex, who hesitates. When I opened the door, he wavers, has to clear his throat. It looked like a Keldabi kiss. Both of Ciri's brows go up, which is an achievement. Not the headbutting kind, given the color you're turning, Captain, she says dryly, and Rex gives her a half-hearted glare that would probably have more impact if his ears weren't burning. Domino interacted more with him, he says, with all the dignity remaining in him. They might know more than he told me or Cody. Ciri makes a sound of acknowledgement, turning her head. Two of them are just coming up the ramp, she says, and Rex pauses, startled, and then turns to find Echo and Fives just approaching, in armor but with their helmets tucked under their arms. Echo looks determined, and Fives worried but conflicted, and Rex can feel what's coming like the tide rolling in. Generals, Fives says quickly, coming to attention, but when Ciri waves off the formality, he casts an almost pleading look at Rex. Captain, there was a misunderstanding on the Rishi moon base, and Echo and I thought, well, we wanted, there was a problem? Rex can feel a headache growing behind his eyes, and he's pretty sure that Cody is laughing silently at him. Spit it out, trooper. What's wrong? Granta's gone, Echo says, much more steadily. And we didn't want to say anything before, because we didn't want to get decommissioned, but he said the Kaminoans used his DNA to make the five of us, to make Domino. He's gone, but I don't think it's bad, Fives offers weakly. He had droid bait in a stasis pod on his ship. Droid bait was really badly hurt, but Granta said he would get him a doctor. The Kaminoans. No need to finish that thought, Rex thinks grimly. And he can't entirely blame Domino for agreeing to anything that saved a squadmate. Did he tell you anything about who he was? Echo nods, though Fives wavers, almost looks ill. Granta Omega, from Telos IV. He said his father was named Xanatos. Ciri's sharp breath feels as loud as a blaster shot, the most dramatic reaction Rex has ever heard from his general. Sir? He asks sharply, turning, but Ciri is staring at Echo, and Quinlan doesn't look any better. Xanatos, she repeats, perfectly even. You are sure that's the name he gave you? Ciri, Quinlan says quietly. Why would Xanatos's son kill a Sith? That, at least, makes Ciri hesitate, and she glances at Quinlan, then back at Echo. Describe him for me, she orders. I'll send it to all the nearby battalions in case he tries to infiltrate another base. Echo opens his mouth, then stops. A peculiar expression flickers across his face, and he closes it again. After a long second, he says, careful in a way that means he's definitely guessing, he had dark hair? Fives slants a disbelieving glance at Echo. Ciri's brows are rising again, but she turns to Rex, expectant. Rex plans to answer. He has the whole description lined up and ready to come out of his mouth, just the way he was trained. But somehow, halfway between his brain and his mouth, it's as though pieces go missing. Suddenly, he can't remember if Granta's hair was long or short, or if his eyes were blue or brown, or what color his skin was. He thinks, for a moment, that he might remember Granta's height, given that Rex picked the man up and carried him, but it's like the details of that memory slide sideways out of his grasp and disappear into smoke before he can stop them. He stops, startled, and meets Ciri's narrowing eyes, then says, I have no idea, General. I can't remember. Bantha shit, Quinlan says, incredulous. When Ciri levels a look at him, as confused as Rex feels, Quinlan shakes his head. He's not a Sith, he says. He's a Karkin Force Blank. He's the first Force Blank I've heard of in almost 5,000 years. That's how he could kill a Sith assassin. And if the Kaminoans were using him for his DNA, I bet someone put them up to it. There's no way they would have found him otherwise. End of chapter 11.